Let me look at you. It's been a couple weeks. By the way, David prayed about the great song. Him and his team choose great songs, and I don't know if you appreciate the theology of a lot of those songs. There's a theological concept called substitutionary atonement. Sounds like a heavy thing. It is, but your life for mine. We sang that phrase. That's substitute. Christ substituted himself for you. If you ever wonder, I hope I'm good enough for God. You're not. But Christ is. That's the beauty of Christianity. Okay, I want you to hear the scriptures as I begin. This is out of Matthew 16. Jesus looked at his disciples and he asked them, "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." The word of the Lord. In a moment or three, I'm going to introduce you to some new members here at Trinity. For a good number of years, I wrote it down, for 38 years, I have had the opportunity and the privilege of helping lead, oversee churches, the Church of Jesus Christ. And the introducing of members has always been just a wonderful expression of faith. Whether the congregations were large or small, or newly established or long-term, to invite new people into the congregation is a really beautiful thing. I want to ask you something. What is it they are joining? The Church of Christ, historically, worldwide, I just read it, holds the keys to the hope of this broken world. And whether it's the local church or the global church, the church itself holds the keys to the hope of the broken world. What are they joining? Well, they're joining Trinity. I want to introduce you to them, and then we'll talk a little bit further. Here they are. We have a number of people, by the way, in the pipeline of membership here. To become a member is not just to check a box, but to truly walk through. When you're out there and you're getting your coffee, you probably see it on the wall there. Attend, connect, serve, lead. That's the process of being a part of Trinity. And so for these folks to be well within that process is really important. I just want to tell you a bit about each of them. Mary Lou Dilberto has been part of Trinity for a really long time. There you see Ruth Hook. She's a part of a small group that Dennis and Donna lead. They go to Lunch and Learns on Wednesdays once a month. They serve in our children's ministry. I want you to hear, they're not just attending, they're connecting, they're serving. Noah and Caitlin Jablonski. Noah is part of Man Up. Caitlin is part of the Women's Bible Study and Moms to Tots. They serve in our children's ministry. Debbie Jones is part of Jeff's Sunday morning class happening right now. She also comes to Lunch and Learn. Nancy Kapitanik is part of Women's Discipleship. She may have greeted you at the door some Sunday morning. Richard and Sally Mann. Dick is part of Man Up. They go to Lunch and Learn. They help our kids with their memory verses in Lionheart. Joshua and Sunshine Miller are part of the Erlinson small group. Sunshine is part of Women's Discipleship and Moms to Tots. They serve in our children's ministry and in Lionheart. The Panchik, Scott and Kristen, they lead a very unique ministry in their cross-faith gym. It's a Bible study. It's a ministry that includes those that are working out. I love the originality of that ministry. And Jason and Heather Snetziger, they're a part of a small home group. Heather is part of Women's Discipleship. They both serve in our worship arts team. Those are our new members. And we have a bunch more in the pipeline. So I wanted you to meet them, and I want you to understand a little bit about what are they a part of? What are they joining? Why the church? If you think about the church itself, the church holds the key to hope. The church, fascinatingly, God has chosen this thing called the church to represent him universally, locally, globally, to embody the ministries of the triune God. The church is meant to carry out the love and care and grace of Christ to whomever they meet. They are joining the church. What is it that they are joining? What is it that you're a part of? Some people would see today the church has sort of gone on hard times. Some people would see the church like the Titanic. It's a big ship that's been sailing for a while, and it's due to sink any moment now. Some people within the church see the church more like a battleship, ready to do battle and blow out of the water anybody who are their enemies, politically, culturally, or otherwise. Some people see the church as a cruise ship, where you just hang out with friends and drink Mai Tais all day long. Hang on to that. I don't think the church is any of those. Church isn't a show where you watch and you applaud. The church is more like a symphony orchestra, and everyone plays their part. You have the oboe, and you have the flute, and you have the percussion, and Christ is the conductor. The church is not a beautiful boutique of people. It's more like a care ward where people need care and people give care. The church isn't a monument, a relic, an immovable relic of the past. It's more of a movement. It's the movement of the Spirit of God and the people of God together, church by church and all over the world, manifesting the kingdom of God ethically, experientially, here and now. It's a movement that says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and may it start with us. The church is not a destination, but an airport. Not a destination. Ever see the movie Terminal? Remember with Tom Hanks? He played that guy that actually had to live in the terminal for the longest time. It wasn't going anywhere. Actually, that I just read this week, that man just died. In the Paris airport. Huh. The church isn't a terminal. You don't come here to stay. You don't get brownie points if you're here 6 days a week. It's an airport. You come. You get a bit of your itinerary. You get a bit of clarity, a bit of vision, and off you go to your destinations. Wherever Christ would take you, you are taking Christ with you. And the church is meant to help clarify that and take you there. Those are our members. What are they joining? Well, they're joining that. But what is that? Which, by the way, I thought I'd show you that. Every now and then, when you get to chuck off a bucket list thing, you got to share it with your friends. So I shared it with my friends. I've been to India countless times. I forgot how many times. And I've never been to Taj Mahal. Finally, I got to go to Taj Mahal. The place is huge. It's bigger than you would even think or you see on the video or whatever you're watching. I don't know if you know it. It's a mausoleum. Some Shah, some prince of India way back in the day, he loved his wife so much, when she died, he built that for her. Men, you've got a responsibility now to... It's huge. I knew it, but to be there, you really feel it. It's Muslim. You can't see it there, but you see that sort of entryway that almost looks like a goalpost? Those are all Arabic writings of the Quran. And you feel it. There are two sort of side chapels that are both mosques there as well. And I just think it's interesting that people from all over the world, regardless of their faith or their worldview, put it on their bucket list to go and visit a Muslim site. I say that to say this. Wouldn't it be interesting if the lives of the people of the church were so attractive and so compelling that people from all over the world, regardless of their religion or worldview, would want to check out the Church of Jesus Christ? Just a thought. And so there's that. What are these people joining? They're joining that. One of my favorite paintings, and you know that well. I brought it when we first came. It's the painting of Van Gogh. It's called Starry Night. The reason I love it so much is he looked out his window of his asylum, by the way, there in France. And France at that time, a very sort of Christian country. And notice that in the entire night, everything is dark, including the church. The lights are out. And so the only place that the people of society can see the revelation of God is in the stars. The heavens declare the glory of God. I believe that. It's beautiful. However, the church's lights are off. What are they joining? They are joining a place that fully believes Jesus' words, who says, "So let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." That's our vision as a church, to be the lit ones, to never let our light go out. If that's our vision, then our mission is to not just have new members, but to make disciples, disciples who bear the light of Christ through their deeds and through their words, so that in a dark society, oh, I see, the lights are on. By the way, Ty sent me a text the other day. He was working out at the Y, I think, and he said, "This is really cool. This is the Van Gogh painting." There was a man working out next to him that had the first ever Heart and Home race t-shirt on, and there was a poster for our Christmas tree giveaway on the wall there. That's that. Letting the light shine out there, out there. We're an airport. We're out there. I thought I'd give you a William Temple quote. William Temple used to be the Archbishop of Canterbury. Here's what he says. "The church is the only institution that exists primarily for the benefit of those who are not its members." Out there. What are they joining? They're joining something that's really concerned with out there. Leslie Newbegin is a missions expert, and he wrote this, pretty much about that statement. "The only hermeneutic of the gospel," the better word, "the only right interpretation of the good news of Jesus Christ is a congregation of men and women who live by it. The best interpretation of what Christianity is us, by us living it and believing it and demonstrating it." Our Lord Jesus Christ never wrote a book. Isn't that odd? The only thing he did was he created a community of people, a movement, who would be known simply as his disciples, as those who follow him. And so, in as much as the church mimics the activities of Christ and repeats the words of Christ, out there we'll know who he is. Okay, what are they joining? They are joining an institution that has three focuses, and that's where I want to spend the rest of our time together. The first focus is an external focus. The church exists for the benefit of our neighbors. Jesus was walking along the way one time, and a guy comes up to him and says, "What do I need to do to earn eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Here's what you need to do. You need to love the Lord your God, and you need to love your neighbor as yourself." The guy had a rejoinder. "Who's my neighbor?" So Jesus tells them a story. You know the story. It's the story of a Good Samaritan. A guy goes along this kind of wrong road. And as he takes the road, he gets overtaken by a bunch of thugs who beat the tar out of him and leave him for dead. First two guys that come to him, a priest and a Levite that see him independently, they each come. They're both religious people, by the way. One is religious by vocation. The other is religious by heritage. Two religious people come and they really don't have much time for him. And so they go across the way and they just keep going. First the priest, then the Levite, they just go. So the third guy comes and it's a Samaritan. The Samaritan's the outsider. He doesn't fit into the faith community. He's not part of the in crowd. He's not necessarily the hero of anybody's story. But here comes the Samaritan, and it says he has pity on this guy. He binds his wounds, and then he takes him to a place where he can get rest and healing. Who's my neighbor? The point of Jesus' story, I think, is if the religious people don't care for the broken people out there, if the religious people don't love their neighbors, then God will just find some other people that will. Us too. Us too. The church has to be about loving its neighbor, caring for the outsiders. That's what the church is about. Why was I in India? In many ways, many of you know the ministry of India that serves the bottom of the caste system, the poorest of the poor. And part of the reason the ministry exists and flourishes there, because the established religion of the day isn't doing anything about it. So God raises up a group of Samaritans who say, oh, what the heck? We're going to do something about it. And a bunch of clinics and 110 schools and a bunch of women's centers later, they're making an impact in the world. And in many ways, God has chosen to continually bless generation after generation after generation of churches that are willing to be the Samaritans, to get out of their sort of religious tightness and say, okay, I'll go. What kind of church are they joining? They're joining a church with an external focus. And in many ways, I'm proud of Trinity because I think we've got it. I love this picture. There's just three of a ton of other things that we do. There's a golf outing. Oh, we go golfing. There's a race. Hey, we go running. And there's two guys sitting on some wood. Yeah, there's more there. Golf outing that we did in August, I didn't win it. Didn't raise money for Friends of Recovery, a ministry that is all about helping people in the name of Christ, looking for opportunities to share the gospel of Christ with people with addictions. That ministry, that golf outing was raising money for them. Heart and Home is our 5K race. We've done a good number of them now. We love running, but it's more than running. It's about raising money, raising attention to that ministry for unwed pregnant mothers. Why? Because we want to save lives here. Someone just who was visiting the church a few weeks ago, if you're here, welcome again, wanted to know, what are you guys doing for pro-life, anti-abortion? Well, I didn't like his tone. And I said, here's what we're doing. And I pointed to a couple things on the wall there. And I pointed to Hannah's Home. And I pointed to Ivy Women's Center. Here's what we're doing. We put our money where our mouth is. We're not just about being angry about stuff. We're going to do some stuff, and we're going to do stuff that I think is going to make a big difference than just being nasty about things. That's what we do. And then those guys there, what are they doing? You notice on the right of Ian there, those are Christmas trees. In a couple of weeks, you saw the sign. Why do we give Christmas trees away? Because we love our neighbor. And the stories that we can tell, you can too if you help out, of the people that come. Are wonderful. Many of them can't afford a Christmas tree. Jesus said, even if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you're doing good. Now, by doing that, we're not just social stuff. We are earning the right, a phrase that is so biblical, words and deeds, So if we do the deeds of the gospel, we gain the right, or Hannah's home gains the right, or Friends of Recovery gains the right to describe the words of Christ. Both are important. What are they joining? They're joining a church that is externally focused. So what am I doing in India? There's what I'm doing in India. It's a movement. It's not a monument. So by movement, I mean the Lord is working in the world, and the church is not meant to be siloed. It is churches together in the communities and in the global community. And so for years, Trinity has been a part of what's going on in India. They are our ministry partners. Again, you can see them on the wall there. It is serving the poorest of the poor in a system where these people have few to any rights, few to any privileges at all. The ministry includes, in America, it's called the Dignity Freedom Network. It includes education. It includes medicine. It includes training of women. And it includes human trafficking, all with the church as its center, the Good Shepherd churches. So this is all in the three here are all in the same little community. It's a community where a number of the many of the women there are part of, trying to say this carefully, both for the live stream and for us. They're part of a system of temple prostitution. And so we came to that community to see them because the ministry we're a part of has a ministry in that community. And the first thing we saw was they have a little medical clinic there. And the thing to know about that medical clinic is that the nurse that's running the clinic, the lady in white there, if you can see it, she was one of those that was caught in the system. Through the ministries, she found hope. She found Christ. And she was trained to become equivalent to what it would be an LPN for us. And she now runs a telehealth system. So the people that come into the tiny little clinic there, you wouldn't want to go there because it's not clean necessarily, but it's the best they've got. The people come there, it's telehealth. So she has medical doctors back in the big city that are helping diagnose and give medicine and all of that. We went from the clinic, then we went to a training center where you see sewing machines and scissors. They're training these women. They come out of the system and they're training them to sew. They're training them to become beauticians and cut hair so that they'll have something to do to earn for their life. The last thing they said, we need to go to the place where the food center, because they hand out food as well. Because again, it's the poorest of the poor. We said, sure, let's go. So we went there and there was this big sort of warehouse and we had no idea what to expect. The picture on the top left is when we got there. It was, they had an assembly for us. It was so humbling. 125 of their women that were there, they gave us a standing ovation. It's like, no, you're the heroes, not us. They put us on a platform to say thanks, and they would come. Several of them they'd picked out to just tell their story. I remember one lady gets up, tells her story. She says, at age 5, I was dedicated to the temple. Age 12, I began work in the temple, if you know what I mean. Age 21, you introduced me to Jesus Christ, and my life has changed. They're applauding us. Jackie, who heads up DFN USA, said a few words of encouragement to those ladies. It was so moving. Then she turned and we're sitting behind her. She looked at me and she said, Paul, this is the first time in my life. You're not going to believe this. I didn't have anything to say. I just looked at her and said, I got nothing, Jackie. I was so moved. So finally, another man who's become my best friend, 70-year-old retired pastor, he got up and he just said, we don't belong on this stage. You belong on this stage. You're the heroes of this story. All that to say, I'm watching my clock. All that to say, what kind of church are they joining? One that's externally focused, that looks to mentor Lake County beyond, because that was God's command. Go into all the world, externally focused. Now, let's be clear. What kind of church are they joining? You got to have an internal focus as well. You've got to have an internal focus. So it's a church that exists for the benefit of others while caring for each other. While we are looking outward, we're caring for one another inward. Got to do it. Here's what Paul writes in Galatians. Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry one another's burdens. Look around this room. If you're on live stream, pretend. Or look at the person next to you. Around this room are all kinds of burdens. Physical, relational, emotional, spiritual. The burdens are really, really heavy. And at times, you can't carry it by yourself. And the Church of Jesus Christ is called, equipped, and called to help us carry each other's burdens. That's why we're here. So I sit in a small group at Man Up on Thursday morning. One of the guys in my groups is one of the deacons. And just sort of in passing, he talks about how in his deaconing, he's fixing this lady's appliance, and he's climbing a ladder for that person. And he's, why are you doing that? I'm the church. One of our members recently just had a significant brain hemorrhage in ICU forever. I mean, I left to go to India, so I haven't even heard an update. But we care. And so we've got Dennis and Donna keeping up, telling us, how is it going with Ken? That's what the church does. Our youth pastor just bought a house. He has more leaves than the Sherwood Forest in the fall. And so one of our trustees just shows up with some machinery to help him bag up all of his leaves. Why? Because we're the church. And we bear one another's burdens. I don't know who said it, but it's really good. The light that shines the furthest shines the brightest at home. That's what they're joining. They're joining a church that is focused inwardly because it's also focused outwardly. What are they joining? They're joining a church that exists for the benefit of our neighbors while caring for each other and firmly securing our future. That's the long view. You got to have the long view. You know, Jesus was unique as a prophet, a rabbi, or whatever you want to call him, in that you read all the stories of all of the competing rabbis or prophets or whatever. They didn't seem to ever say anything or care a lick about kids. Jesus couldn't have enough of children. He loved children. One day he's walking along, he actually's on his way heading to Jerusalem. And these parents with their kids, they come to Jesus and they want Jesus to do something with their children. And the disciples sometimes acted like his security guards. And so they blocked him. No, he's got much more serious business to do. You can leave now. And Jesus said, no, wait. Let the little children come to me because they're the kingdom of God. And so it says he touched them and he blessed them. And in that culture, to be touched is a wonderful thing. We got to care, and we do, but I say it anyway. We have to care about our children. In Christ's kingdom, children matter. Children are relevant. Children are not only the image of the character of the kingdom, they are the future of the health of the kingdom. Children always matter. Think about it this way. The church is always one generation from being extinct. That's why kids matter. So whatever we do, we have to be in the business of equipping our parents and creating ministries and facilities that do that. Love these pictures. There's our kidsmen. Remember when there was grass on the ground? That's just the start. The future of this church is the health of that ministry. One of the things you're going to be hearing in the months to come, the trustees are now beginning to explore the possibility of building onto the back of this building. And the vision is to build a similar to the gathering space here, but to build a gathering space for children and for families with additional classrooms. We completely ran out of classrooms for our kids. So you're going to hear more about that. And the reason, brick and mortar have nothing to do with the kingdom of God, and they have everything to do with the kingdom of God. Brick and mortar are a vehicle for accomplishing the vision of blessing the next generation and for generations to come. So you're going to be hearing about it probably after the new year of pushing out the back, a beautiful entry area like this, that families will come. And I'm thinking not just on Sunday, but throughout the week as a place for fellowship, for community, for family, for their children. Stay tuned. I want to show you one more picture having to do with children. We had the privilege of going to a bunch of schools, and there they are. Remember I told you about that village? There's a several villages that the DFN ministries work in where temple prostitution is a thing. And if you've been here for a few years, you remember we had a ministry in Advent called 40K for 40 Kids. The 40K was to buy a school bus because there was the temple was here, and because of the business of the temple, these ladies were having children. And the children are either going to go back into the machinery of the system, or we could take them to a school. School that the ministry started, but it was a ways away, and they needed a bus. And I raised my hand for Trinity's sake. I said, we're buying that bus. We did. There's the future. Don't you love those kids? It's all about education. So, you're going to hear more about it next week. Our DFN project, our Advent project for next year, has to do with the schools as well. Every year, if you're new to Trinity, every year we do an Advent project that enables the ministry in India to flourish. And this year, and I always ask those boots on the ground, what do you need? And one of the things that they need, that they said, and the cool thing is to watch how things are developing and growing and improving to the point where these schools are just flourishing. I mean, in one of the schools is the poorest of the poor, and our hearts broke. Some of them are just going great guns to the point that people in the upper caste want to join those schools. Oh, you do? Tell us what you need. Well, we need to enable our principals to serve the kids better. We need 60 laptops. Okay. We're going to help you get these laptops. 60 laptops, okay? You're going to hear more about it next week. $80,000 for 60 laptops. We can do it. You'll hear it next week. You can buy a laptop. You can buy the keyboard. You can buy the screen. You can do all kinds of things. But it is to bring the tools of ministry to those principals in those schools. Stay tuned. You're hearing all that and you think, wow, I want to join that church. You do? What would you be joining? Here's the bigger issue. Jesus said, follow me. His last words to his disciples before he ascended to his Father was, go into all the world and make disciples. He really never said, join a church or plant churches. He said, follow me and make disciples. Why? Because the church is meant to be a disciple-making machine. It is meant to create the life in Christ through learning, through emulating, through imitating Christ again and again and again. Our business is making disciples. Is that the church you want to be a part of? don't know if you know the name Simon Sinek. He did a TED Talk a few years ago, went viral. And the TED Talk was on the golden circle. He talked about why and the importance of why. He said every organization knows the what. What do you do? We make cars. How do you do it? We have an assembly line. Why do you do it? What does the church do? I'll show you the Van Gogh painting. What do? We shine like stars in a dark universe. How do we do that? By making disciples, by helping people grow in Christ, imitate Christ, know Christ, reflect Christ. That's why attend, connect, serve, to develop a Christ-like life through relationships, through worship, through learning. That's how. The question is, why? Why? Because that is how Christ changes a life, a family, a community, a world. Only through discipleship. Only through following Jesus. The church is merely the vehicle to get it done. Titanic, no. Battleship, no. Cruise ship, no. Life raft. Because the church of Jesus Christ has the life of Christ multiplied again and again and again in its followers. The words of Dallas Willard explain the why as well as anybody. There is no problem in human life that discipleship in Jesus cannot solve. There is no problem in the human life that discipleship in Jesus cannot solve. That's why the church is about discipleship. Tell me your problem. Greed, fear, porn, divorce, racism, injustice, war. Go on and on. Whether it's an individual problem, a communal problem, a global problem. There is no problem in the human dilemma that discipleship cannot solve. Because it can't be solved by human means, not by technology, not by politics, not by even religion, because humans are the problem. You need something outside the problem to solve it. And that is the life of Jesus Christ, who solves the human dilemma and even solves the issue of the forgiveness of sins, of alienation from God, even the problem of our mortality and death itself. The church is the vehicle of that. You want to join that? There's no problem in the human life that following Christ can't solve. Are you in? Are you in? Join me in prayer, please. Father, thank you for this beautiful institution called the church. Thank you that it has survived 2,000 years and more of torpedoes from without and cracks from within. And yet we still believe that it holds the keys to the hope of humanity. And Father, I pray that in our own little corner right here, that Trinity Church could be a model, a reflection of your life, of your hope, of your ability to address the human dilemma and change it from the inside out. I pray for these new members. I pray that they would continue to be a vital part of our family as we seek to look out, as we seek to care in, as we seek to build for our future. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.